Hi, this is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Bobby McFerrin, a jazz vocalist in a category of his own, is in town to both sing and conduct the Kalamazoo Symphony in a concert set for tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium. He's chosen an all-Gershwin program, paying tribute to a composer close to his heart. In addition to singing selections from Porgy and Bess, he'll conduct a performance of the Piano Concerto in F, featuring soloist Charlie Albright. Charlie Albright is tonight's guest on Let's Hear It. A classically trained improviser, Charlie Albright was last in Kalamazoo to perform at the 2010 Gilmore Festival as the recipient of the Gilmore Young Artist Award. Originally from Washington out west, he's now a New Yorker with a Juilliard degree by way of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Harvard University.
I did the joint program with Harvard and the New England Conservatory. So my undergrad was in, at Harvard I did economics and pre-medicine, and at the New England Conservatory I did my master's in music and piano.
Economics and pre-medicine, were you worried that you would maybe not make music your focus, or?
I think I was more worried that I wasn't going to be able to. Piano is something that I always loved and I still love. But I was worried that, you know, if there might be a chance that I wouldn't be able to continue, because so much of it is not only hard work and, you know, and playing well, but also, you know, things that are out of your control, you know, having the right person hear you or being in the right place at the right time. So a lot of it is kind of up for grabs. So I was worried that, you know, with my family not being able to you know, financially support me, you know, what would I do if I wasn't able to do music? And I thought, well, I was always interested in medicine and business, and that was the closest things they had there.
Well, that makes sense. You grew up in Washington State on the West Coast. Not necessarily the coast, right? It's Centralia. It sounds more like it's in the middle.
Yeah, so Centralia, I guess, used to be called Centerville years ago, because it's literally an hour and a half in between Seattle and Portland. So you go north an hour and a half, you're in Seattle, and south you'll hit Portland. But it's a small town that I lived in, you know, until I really went off to college, and I moved there when I was, I think, one. So it was really my hometown.
Maybe we could go back a little further, and I know you have a younger sister. Did she study music as well, and did you have an important teacher at that time?
Well, yeah, I have a younger sister, and we're actually pretty far apart age-wise. She's 7 years younger than I am, and so, you know, she didn't come along until I was in kindergarten, first grade, and I was more the music person. She took more of the athletic role. So she played violin and things through school, but her main focus was tennis and swimming, really. And so I had several teachers before I started classical music properly, at the age of about 7 or 8. And at that point, I had a jazz teacher in the area in Olympia who said to my parents that, you know, Charlie needs to have a year's worth of classical training to get his, you know, his technique down. And so the original idea was that I was going to play, you know, keep playing jazz and Great Balls of Fire and Backstreet Boys and all this improv and, you know, fun stuff. I called them fun songs at the time. And after I'd finished about a year's worth of classical training, I'd go back to that. But I started with Nancy Adsit in Olympia, and she's actually a native of Ypsilanti. And anyway, she, I guess I just kept going, and here I am.
Wow, that's wonderful. So growing up on the West Coast and then moving to the East Coast for your higher education, which do you feel more like, an East Coaster, a West Coaster?
I still have to say West Coaster. I live in New York City right now, and it's, you know, there's definitely that, you know, the energy people talk about, but it's also that kind of rushed kind of feeling that you get, that everything you have to do has to be now. Whereas the West Coast is so much more laid back, I think.
And not too long ago, you received an Avery Fisher Career Grant. Is that a lump sum, and you get to decide what to do with it?
Exactly. It's an amount that you can use to basically do anything to help further your career, whether it be, you know, helping with, you know, just regular expenses to commissioning a work. So anything really is what it can be used for.
Well, my pianist sister is currently looking for a piano to the tune of, you know, 30 to 40 grand.
Sure.
So I can imagine that a lot of people would use it that way. Did you do that, or did you...
Well, at the moment, no, because there's not really a spot to put it in New York City.
Oh,
you know, space there is always limited. But I think I'm using it right now. I'm using it mainly for just regular expenses, but I'm planning my second CD soon, and so I think a large amount of that will go toward that.
Oh, great. Well, I want to hear a little more about that in a few minutes, but I thought we'd take a music break and remind listeners that tickets are still available for tomorrow night's concert in Miller Auditorium, where the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra plays all Gershwin, led by Bobby McFerrin, and featuring my guest, Charlie Albright, in the Concerto in F by George Gershwin. This might be, besides the opera, his most extensive, his biggest orchestral piece, don't you think?
I think so, and it's one of those that it might not be as recognizable as, like, the Rhapsody in Blue to a lot of people. It's one of those that, even before I learned it, you recognize, because little bits and pieces of the piece are so entwined in even our pop culture. You hear it, you know, you recognize something from, you know, Tom and Jerry or something from this movie or that. And it has a lot of recognizable parts that are just great to play and I think even better to listen to.
Don't you think it's kind of awesome the whole thing starts with a timpani player?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
What concerto does that?
I don't think there is one.
So most percussionists probably know this one really well. But I picked out a recording that I don't think you're that familiar with, Charlie. But it goes back to the 1930s and 40s when Gershwin was alive. One of his great pals was the pianist and bon vivant Oscar Levant, who was a radio personality and played the Hollywood Bowl to sell out crowds and stuff. And he was considered Gershwin's biggest interpreter after Gershwin passed away. So here is Oscar Levant with the New York Philharmonic, led by Andre Kostolanitz. Such an exciting piece, and that's just the first movement of the Gershwin Piano Concerto in F. If you tuned in during the music, we heard Oscar Levant in that very old mono recording with Kostolanitz conducting the New York Philharmonic. But here in the studio, I have Charlie Albright, who will be playing this live and in person tomorrow. For full details, I can refer you now to Nikki Stadler, who is here from the KSO. She's marketing director, and let people know how they can get in touch.
We have tickets available in each of our sections still. Definitely the front sections are going very quickly, so please jump on and grab them if you want them. They can either call Miller Auditorium at 387-2300, or you can still get tickets online at kalamazoosymphony.com.
Great, and there's a range of prices, yep, and something that can fit pretty much
everybody's budget, and students are always half off, so... This is a great family concert. Bring your young musicians.
Well, I think Gershwin's a great sell. I think Bobby McFerrin also is a huge draw. And I personally, I think you're the big draw myself, Charlie. So we just heard a little bit of Oscar Levant playing this piece. Sounded like he hit all the right notes there.
That sounds pretty good to me.
How long have you been playing the Concerto in F?
I think I've been playing this for a little over a year or so. It's one of those pieces that really grows on you. You know, the first time you play it, it sounds neat. And the first time you hear it, it sounds very neat. But the more you hear it, the more you perform it, the more you start to love it. Because there's so many intricacies in the orchestration and how the piano... It has different textures and different, really different rhythms. Like he uses so many contrapuntal rhythms that go, like we were just listening to that recording, and the very end of it just has, you know, the instead of a typical grand ending where the piano and the orchestra play all the huge chords together, it's this, you know, m-ba-ba-m-ba kind of a thing going on. And that happens through the whole piece. And it's really just a, you know, you want to stomp your feet type of a thing.
Now, Gershwin, I believe he had something of an inferiority complex about writing in classical genres. You know, Porgy and Bess was a big deal to him. He went to study with Ravel in Paris, right? And Ravel's like, you do your thing. You're really good.
Yeah.
You don't need to become a classical composer. But this sounds like one of those pieces that may have, for him, been a little bit uphill because it's a classical form concerto.
It is. It's classical. It has the standard 3-movement format. It has the kind of big first movement, the slower second that's more lyrical, and then the third movement, which is just a powerhouse. But I think he hit the nail on the head with this one. It's just, you know, it retains that, you know, that very iconic Gershwin style, and it really combines it with a lot of classical elements, but keeps that, you know, fun jazziness about it.
Do you start to embody some sort of Tin Pan Alley pianist when you're working on this piece?
I try to, when I play this, I really try to kind of throw out a lot of the stereotypical things that I've learned about how to play classical music. You know, a lot of times in classical music, you're so concerned about, you know, the evenness of every single phrase and keeping the balance absolutely perfect. But in this piece, I think it really is not so much about that at all as getting that really kind of raw kind of, you know, dancing jazzy feeling that, you know, that really kind of is important to the piece. Yes.
I was thinking that American sound, I guess.
That's a great way of putting it.
That's not something the Europeans had cultivated. And George Gershwin was one of our first great, composers and sounds.
Definitely.
So he managed to combine it rather well.
I feel so.
He had done that earlier, of course, with Rhapsody in Blue, correct?
Yes. And that is going to be another rendition of that on the program that's going to be, it was a transcription without piano that will be played. But the Rhapsody in Blue is, you know, is another piece, but that is much more of a kind of a piece as opposed to a concerto, because it doesn't have the typical 3 parts and whatnot. But I think he really pushed the boundaries with the concerto in F, because it goes beyond, I think, even a lot of what he approached in the Rhapsody in Blue.
I can see having so much fun practicing this piece, but maybe not. Is it hard to do without the orchestra filling in all those little parts?
Not as much as you might think, but it does have a lot of, when you're playing it by yourself, it does feel really segmented because there's so many parts where, as opposed to a lot of concertos where you have a big solo part with the orchestra, then they have an interlude and then you play something else. A lot of this is kind of playing along with the orchestra just as much as playing by yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you vamp.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You solo, you vamp. It's got jazz vocabulary and classical
definitely
elements to it. What a great piece. And that, I don't think we've had performed in West Michigan for a very long time. I'm talking years now. So this is a big deal. Tomorrow night's concert is at 8:00 in Miller Auditorium, and full details are online at KalamazooSymphony.com. During the music, we talked a little about you met with and performed under the baton of Bobby McFerrin just last night in the first rehearsal. And I was intrigued about some of the things you said about him as a conductor. Maybe you can give us a little sneak peek at tomorrow.
Sure. I mean, it was the first time working with Bobby McFerrin. And, you know, he came, we met each other and we went on the stage and had the first run through, and it was spectacular. He's unlike any conductor that I've worked with before, in that he approaches the music in a different way, but gets to the same means as a typical, quote, classical conductor would. So, somebody who is a full-time, maybe professional classical conductor will approach things in a more... It's really hard to explain, but a really different way, but the ends are the same. And it was absolutely amazing to hear what what Bobby could get out of the orchestra in such a short amount of time. Like, he really got to the roots of the music, and the musicians really, really seemed to really click with each other and with him.
That's also what I heard from a musician who practiced last night, and it is hard to describe how conductors work and how they achieve what they're trying to do, because of course they don't have the orchestra is the instrument,
exactly,
and they can't make anything happen unless the musicians feel the same way or feel what they're feeling.
There has to be a really strong underlying connection between everyone involved, and I think when that happens, then that's when magic can truly occur.
Well, Bobby McFerrin will be conducting tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and my guest Charlie Albright will be featured in the Concerto in F. The Rhapsody in Blue is also on the program, as well as the suite or the ballet, An American in Paris. So it's an all Gershwin extravaganza. If you've been missing out on your Gershwin needs, this will certainly serve them all. But I thought next we wouldn't listen to a Gershwin piece, but one from your solo album that came out a few years ago. First, perhaps you can maybe tell us about your plans for your second album, if you can give anything away on that.
Well, I can't give away too much, but one of the things that I've been doing a lot more in concert lately is something that I did when I was quite young and before I started classical music. So I played music for several years before even learning how to read, and it was a lot of them were kind of covers of pieces that I've heard and also improvisation. So I composed my own pieces on the spot. And so for my second album, I think the main theme that I'd like to go with is an entirely self-composed album of my own works. So it's still a little ways off, but it's in process.
Are these pieces composed in the moment, or will you set them down, put them in the finale program, and be able to disseminate the music someday?
Well, I think that they're going to be more toward the improvisation side, but without any kind of editing on the part of switching parts around and changing the notes. So what you hear is likely what you're going to get.
Well, why don't we take a break and listen to a piece written by Menotti, Giancarlo Menotti, and maybe you could set this up for us.
So this piece is spectacular. It's one of those that wasn't played for forever and still really isn't played all that much. It's based on a theme from his opera, The Old Maid and the Thief, and there are two parts, the Ricercara, which is sort of a slow setup, where I always think of as the thief kind of sneaking into a large mansion where there's this maid who resides and keeps watch, and then the Toccata, which suddenly breaks out. And I always envision the maid finding this thief and is chasing him around the grounds, you know, and bopping him on the head every once in a while when they catch up. And it's really kind of a really neat piece that has this one, you know, theme, bum, 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 that repeats itself over and over again through both pieces. And it was given to me when I was, by my teacher, Nancy Adsit, when I was about 10 or 11. And it's been a lifelong friend.
That's just such vibrant playing, Charlie. My guest is Charlie Albright, and we just heard his recording of Giancarlo Menotti's Ricercare and Toccata on a theme from The Old Maid and the Thief, a piece that sort of got away from the public eye, and I'm glad you found it and recorded it so beautifully here.
Oh, thank you.
This recording, which is titled Vivace, Charlie Albright, can be found online, I assume.
Yes.
You can find it through iTunes and Amazon and everything like that, or in person tomorrow night at Miller Auditorium, where you can purchase the CD there after the concert. Charlie Albright will be featured in the Piano Concerto in F by George Gershwin, and Bobby McFerrin leads the entire concert in an all-Gershwin program. Very exciting. So Charlie, talking back about your next project, which will be to record improvisatory pieces, is that something that you find your colleagues doing more of these days, or are you kind of alone in this?
I think it's something that's happening more and more, and I think it's about the best thing that can happen. You know, classical music, it has kind of escaped the classical world for so many years. When most of the great works were composed, even in Mozart's day, improvisation was a huge aspect of that. It was only, you know, kind of beginning with, you know, kind of Beethoven and later time, they actually even started writing cadenzas at all for some of these concertos. And so people were expected to go out on stage and, you know, play what was written and then play a whole bunch of other stuff that wasn't and then resume what was written and, you know, kind of so on and so forth. But we've kind of somehow over the years developed a I don't think it's a dislike, but it just kind of fell by the wayside, and people began focusing on what was written and not at all on what wasn't. And so I think it's something that's starting to make a revival, but I think it still has a long way to go yet.
But it's something that you've always done.
That's true. And I think, again, it's because I didn't start classical until so late compared to when I started piano.
So are you able to get yourself into a mind space where you're not critically thinking as you improvise or thinking, oh, that's dumb, oh, that's cliched, I just borrowed that from Beethoven or something?
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. So when I start an improvisation, I take a minute, or not quite a minute, but I take a little bit of time before I play my first note to kind of think of what kind of an image, what kind of a feeling that I want to achieve from the music. Because I think, you know, the point of music is to say something, whether it be portraying joy and happiness or despair and desperation. You need to move yourself and hopefully anyone who's listening to some kind of emotion. It's a form of communication. So I try to figure out how I'm going to and what I'd like to actually say. And once I figure that out, it becomes more of putting pieces together as you go. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I came to realize that improvisation is really the raw core of music, I believe. You know, all music that's written started with an idea. But the difference is that, like when you're writing a book, you continuously edit ideas that you put down on paper. But when you're improvising something, you don't have a take back. You can't say, oh, no, never mind, I take that back, I'll start over again. It's I put this out there, and if I don't like it or if it's something different than even what I expected, you have to morph it as you go and make it fit and make it work and hopefully still maintain a structure that makes it into a piece of music as opposed to just a smattering of random ideas. So it's always exciting for me because they're never the same twice. And I couldn't play something for you and then play it exactly the same way a second time because even I wouldn't remember exactly how I put it together.
Charlie, you're immensely talented and a great artist, and I wish you all the best of luck with your solo piano career, but you're also so articulate and in explaining this, and I'm feeling I understand so well. I really hope you end up teaching someday too. It just seems so easy to understand as you explain it.
Well, thank you very much.
Maybe you can do both.
Maybe both. I do enjoy teaching.
So you do have some students here and there?
I have some students, and I do a lot of master classes as I travel. So oftentimes it's paired with concerts. So I'll teach some students before a concert, like the day before or so, and it kind of packages in, which is a great way for me to, you know, really meet people in, you know, these areas that I'm traveling to and really kind of connect with some of the younger people, I think.
We know that you're working with Bobby McFerrin for this concert, and you've also had a fairly long musical relationship with cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes.
Performing with him on many occasions.
Yes, yes. He, you know, he's a fantastic and amazing musician, as, you know, I don't have to tell you. But more so, he's, you know, he's really been a role model in the sense that he's such a down-to-earth, nice person. You know, he's just a good guy. And that really comes across, I think, in his playing as well. And so he's been, you know, quite a good friend.
If you do, you have a short list of folks that you would like to collaborate with, possibly down the road?
Oh, I have a very long list of people I'd like to. You know, I'd love to work with. Someday I'd love to work with Dudamel and Pavajarvi. I hear their works and you know, I'm just astonished. And of course, you know, Alan Gilbert and you know, some of these fine artists. Right now, I'm actually. I think I can make the announcement now, actually. There is a, this is the first time I'm actually officially announcing it. I am, through the Gilmore Young Artist Award, part of the award is that I have a chunk of money used to commission a new work. And we've commissioned my good friend Matthew Alcuin, who is a fantastic composer, an amazing conductor, and, you know, he's assistant conductor at the Metropolitan Opera, and he's doing some fantastic work, and he'll be writing me a new piano concerto.
Oh,
which will be,
yes,
it's going to be something that's going to be really fun to work on, so.
Yes, this could be a signature piece.
I hope so.
You could play this with orchestras around the country.
I hope to.
And in Kalamazoo, let's hope.
Let's do that.
Well, Charlie, it's been so fun having you here this morning. I'd like to keep you for another hour, but I suppose you have some rehearsing to take care of and a concert to look forward to tomorrow.
Yes, this should be a blast.
Charlie Albright will take the stage tomorrow night to play Gershwin's Piano Concerto in F with Bobby McFerrin leading the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Check kalamazoosymphony.com for details. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence.